We are all going to be landlords. Christ is going and building our houses, our
beautiful mansions.
Yes, sir.
You know, from that scripture, in my Father's house,
are many mansions.
Mm-hmm. There. But they have forgotten that spirits don't live.
Okay.
on houses, mm-hmm. you know, made with hand like that, because it's only, you know, it's a different realm of life.
Mm. Mm.
The spiritual is a different realm, and so for you to just put a picture like that and say Christ has gone to prepare
a place for us,
then you notice it will be on scripture.
Mm. Amen.
Where he went is what you're asking.
Yes, sir.
Mm.
What he has done is to guarantee a place for us in the kingdom.
Okay.
When he said, I go to prepare a place for you, he goes there to guarantee the place. Amen. That's why he said, believe in God, believe in me also.
Amen.
In my Father's house, you know, are many mansions. If it were not so,
I would have told you.
And when you look at the narration of that scripture, you naturally ask this question, where did he go to prepare that place?
Amen.
Remember that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission.
Amen.
Man fell out of favor with God.
Amen.
God separated from God.
Hallelujah.
From what happened in the Garden of Eden. The process of reconciling man back to God is a redemption process.
Amen.
And Christ is the focus here. The Bible in 1 Corinthians 1:24 describes Jesus as
the wisdom
of God, as the power of God.
Amen.
Which wisdom? Wisdom that God used to come down and, you know, collect his people. He uses Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Which power? The power of conversion.
Mm.
The power that God used to convert a sinner
to a saint
is in Christ.
Hallelujah.
That's why it's the power of God, is the wisdom of God. So, Christ guaranteeing a place for us, he offered himself.
Mm.
For while we were yet sinners,
amen,
he died for us.
Amen.
And where did he prepare that place for us? It's on the cross where he hung himself.
Okay, it was at the cross
he guaranteed a place for us in that kingdom.
Pardon me, sir, are you saying there's no jealous beggar and the Lord Jesus?
Let's get it clearer. 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Making some form of foundation.
2 Corinthians chapter 5. I thank God for Bright TV. A lot of these misconceptions
are being corrected. Amen.
Now, if you read the Bible very well, see the way Apostle Paul, very revelated, see the way he put it. What does he say? He said, verse 1
okay.
And verse 2. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. Catch the usage of that language there.
A building of God.
Mm. We have a building of God.
Mm.
And house. Not made with hands. Eternal in the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
He said, for in this what? In this house. Mm. In this tabernacle. This body. We have, for in this, we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So So what is the house? It is our body. The real you is not you I am seeing now. It's your house I am seeing. The real Gabriel is a spirit. To be able to contact a physical, God gave us this house. So when he said, in my father's house, there are many mansions there, he's talking about the body that we shall be clothed with. And that is that glorious body.
Heavenly body.
The heavenly body.
He's trying to, Apostle Paul is talking about a house here in 2 Corinthians 5.
Yes.
And the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about a mansion. Is it that Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ are saying the same thing? Jesus is talking about the magnificence of this house by calling it a mansion.
Well, you know, we usually describe a place of abode as a mansion to let you know how beautiful it is and how big it is. Yeah. And of course, anything that is built of God by himself to be a glorious house.
So this house or this, answering the question of Brother Gabriel, you went to prepare a guarantee a place for us at the cross.
Exactly. And it's at the cross.
Mansions in his father's house. Speaking of
they
the
are our glorious bodies that are waiting, that we shall be clothed with.
Not a building.
No, not a physical building.
This is serious because we've had a lot of people seeing visions, descriptions of several cities. Well, we'll come to that. But
have you tried to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9? First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Yes.
Okay? Mm-hmm. For we are laborers together with God. Uh-huh. Ye are God's husbandry. Uh-huh. Ye are God's building.
Whose building?
God's building.
Wow.
So when you hear mansion and building, now it's a language of revelation. So that you begin to place it properly. Now if you also read Ephesians chapter 2.
Wow. Ephesians 2.
Yes.
Verse what, sir?
Verse 19 and verse 19 up to 22.
Okay, Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 19.
Yes.
Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, mm-hmm. but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God,
uh-huh.
and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets,
uh-huh.
Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone,
uh-huh.
in whom all the building...
Now, in whom all the building...
fitly framed together,
uh-huh.
groweth unto an holy temple uh-huh. in the Lord.
Uh-huh.
In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Thank you very much. Wow. You see the language that is used there.
Yes, sir.
And maybe we'll take, I don't know if we can take one more.
Okay.
Hebrews chapter 3.
Hebrews 3. That's what, sir?
Verse 6.
Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house.
Uh-huh.
Whose house are we?
So whose house are we?
Christ. Thank if you hold fast the confidence and rejection of the old family today.
Because that is his dwelling place. So we are the house of Christ. Because he's dwelling in us. Now, do you remember that there was a temple?
Amen.
There was a temple. Temple is a building, a place of worship. Yes, it's not a building.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And the Bible tells us that where you have now, because that is where God dwells. So it becomes the temple of God, built in Jerusalem. By the time came, Revelation is going progressive that it was only symbolic of the real temple. Because that is where God dwells. And then Christ will say, destroy this temple in 3 days. Now he was actually speaking and provoking them. He was saying it in a way that they would actually be provoked. They were looking at the physical temple, like the denominationers and all these unrevelated teachers are looking at the New Jerusalem as a physical city.
Okay, so you're saying it's not a physical city.
So Christ was telling them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And then he comes again and tells us, too, we are also the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we are houses of the Holy Ghost. We are mansions of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Okay,
let's go further in this study, sir. Revelations 21, from whence we have this scripture, this this city that John saw. Revelation 21, verse 1 and 2, I read, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Sir, why is this city in Revelation 21 called New Jerusalem?
Look at verse 2 again. Okay, okay, let me answer. Let's go straight. Why is it called
New Jerusalem?
New Jerusalem? It means that it's the old Jerusalem.
Yes. Why not just Jerusalem? Because we are all familiar with Jerusalem.
Yeah, but because there is the old Jerusalem. Why not just say covenant? Why are you saying old covenant and new covenant?
Because there's a new covenant.
Okay. When the first covenant was on, was it called old covenant?
No, sir.
We didn't call it old covenant until a new covenant came.
That's true.
So we won't be talking of, we are talking of Jerusalem. It was not Jerusalem, Jerusalem, because yes, that was always existing. But now, when another Jerusalem is coming, then we can now call it the new Jerusalem. Because there is the old Jerusalem. Now you discover that the old Jerusalem was populated by children of God.
Children of God, okay.
The Jews, the covenant children of God, but this time in the flesh.
Okay.
In the flesh. And remember that whatever you see is only typing the spiritual. Mm. Just like the temple in Jerusalem was God's dwelling place. And other children of God had, there were other houses all over the city of Jerusalem. But there was a particular place.
Amen.
Where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt, which was the temple. It's the same thing also you see in chapter 21 and verse 3.
Okay. Revelation 21, 3. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God."
Because Christ is the tabernacle of God.
Amen.
And he'll be coming to dwell among his people in the New Jerusalem. And if you go further, you will see in verse 22 of that same Revelation 21. I know maybe we'll come there later, but it's necessary I make this reference to give us the picture. In that city of that New Jerusalem, you notice that, "And I saw no temple therein." This new, the old one had a temple there. But this new one, you know, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Because of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the tabernacle of God, you know, in the New Jerusalem. There was a temple there, and there were other mansions in the city of Jerusalem, physical. But this New Jerusalem, your question is, why is it called new? It is new because the people that are coming in are a new creation.
Amen.
They are a new creation. If a man be in Christ, he is what?
A new creation.
He's a new creation that are begotten from the dead.
Hallelujah.
And we see it in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5.
Revelation 1, 5.
Yes.
Okay. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead."
That is the greeting
to the seven churches.
Yes. Yes, the greetings, yes.
Okay, "and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead."
He is referred to as what?
The first begotten of the dead.
The first begotten what?
Of the
of
dead.
The dead. Mm-hmm. For man, all were condemned to death.
Amen.
And the first one, and that is why Christ too, to fulfill it, because he's supposed to appear as our elder brother, as the firstborn. among many brethren. So he too had to die in the flesh to fulfill that law.
Okay.
Then the harvest of the dead from the earth began for him. That's why he is called the first fruit.
First fruit, okay.
He resurrects. He is the first from the dead. That is, in bringing us back to life, the children of God back to life, he is the first. And it is from him. Because he was put on the cross and he died. And it was just like Adam, was first Adam, was put to sleep and a surgery was done by his side. Christ, the last Adam, that is what is referred to. He's also Adam. In creating, making a new creation, he was also put to death on the cross. And through that death, all of us begin to have life.
Amen.
If a man be in Christ, he is now a new creature. Old things are passed away. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 also.
1 Corinthians 15.
Verse 20 to 23.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead.
You see?
And become the first fruit of them that slept.
He is the first fruit of them that slept. Uh-huh.
For since by man came death.
You see?
By man came also the resurrection of the dead.
Okay.
For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Thank you.
But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ as his coming.
So you can now understand why it is New Jerusalem for the new creature. If that's why you must be born again. Because the old Adam, the old man, cannot enter there.
Okay, so
it is a new creation. Yes.
You just said it. If you are not born again, you can't.
You can't, of course, because that is what makes it new.
Because I know you visited the present Jerusalem.
Yes.
And a lot of people visit Jerusalem. You see JP, Jerusalem Pilgrim.
Yes,
and most of them.
There's actually a certificate that is issued.
Issued, okay.
Yeah, that's the
and most of them are not born again.
Yes.
So
no, when they go, it has nothing to do with salvation. Okay. It's tourism.
Just tourism.
It's just tourism. Oh, we read something and we want to see the sites and that the Bible is referring to. I even baptized in River Jordan. It was just tourism.
It's not receiving special.
Where mentioning. Jesus was baptized. Nothing happened. Nothing. You don't have to go there before you are saved.
Okay.
No. So, in fact, there's nothing there even to make you saved, rather than to just confirm your faith that these things we read, they are
real.
Okay. But remember, some see before they believe. Yeah. But they say, blessed are they. I've not seen and they believe.
Yeah, they do believe.
So that people don't begin to. It's not a cardinal point of our faith. It's not a cardinal. We are not. It's not a commandment.
Okay.
There's nothing about going to Jerusalem. No.
Okay.
No.
So the people coming in are new creation. That is why it's called creation. New Jerusalem.
New Jerusalem.
Thank you very much, sir. Yes. I think you answered this correctly.
Okay, sir. So we're still looking at the city, New Jerusalem. From what John was saying in Revelation 21, as we probably read earlier, is it a literal city? We look at measurements. John is talking about different measurements of this city. Mm-hmm. And now you just told us now that it is new because, new people are
new
coming.
Creation.
It's a new place. So this particular place, is it a literal city? The video we even watched showed us a literal city. Several preachers, all literal city. What's your own take?
You see, all these measurements that are being given, all these
descriptions,
all those descriptions of those precious stones,
yes, sir,
is God's own way of letting you know that it's not something that has been haphazardly done.
Okay.
It is what has been planned.
Designed.
And designed by God. Mm. And anything beyond this design will not be acceptable.
Okay.
It is like this and all this. They are all symbolic. Mm. It's not about some physical measurement of this. That is what is confusing them.
That's true.
but by the spirit of revelation to his bride in this age.
Hallelujah.
And we know, because our eyes of understanding he has opened. It is a spirit of revelation. It is God's own way of describing a fact that this city is a master plan of God himself.
Amen.
And the only way for you to know that it's a master plan is that there is, you know, a dimension to it. He had already planned it. He is the one that planned it. Now, it's described, the description using all those precious stones is to let you know how, you know, how glorious it will be for you to be found among them.
Okay.
Because anything that has a touch of God, there's beauty that will go in it.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
You know, the songwriter say, I see the stars. And all of them have their glories. I hear the rolling thunders. You know,
so
they all, it's a description of, you know, the glory. That is Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 talk about the glory of the sun. Another glory of this, another glory of that, another glory of that. So that city also has its own glory. And that is what he's using to describe it. But to begin to look at streets that are made of gold.
Pure gold.
Pure gold. It's only a description of beauty. Why do we use gold and put everywhere? It's a description of beauty. You know, that you walk on gold does not add anything to you. Rather than the fact that the environment is beautiful.
I've heard people say that this city is made of gold. In fact, people have dreamt and have seen this city made of gold. I know preachers, holiness believing preachers, have taught it to be a city of gold. In fact, there was a certain time then in Jos, my mom told us that a certain preacher explained to them that when you pay your tithe, you are building your house in heaven.
So oh my.
The more tithe you pay, the more tithe you pay, the better your construction is in heaven. So there are some people, their houses
that,
in
that's
heaven
the same
now,
kind of spirit that Catholicism introduced in Dodgers.
Oh God.
To secure the release from
purgatory.
Make certain penance, of certain payments.
So I still wanted to lay a little emphasis on the description of the city. Because Revelation 21, I read from verse 16. It says it light four square, the length is as large as the breadth. Then coming down, it speaks of 12 precious stones.
Yes.
And verse 16 says the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Then verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. There's the verse that speaks of the 12 apostles. Verse 12. Had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Then he describes it. Then verse 14, on the wall of the city, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So,
confuses.
Yes, sir.
The confuse.
We have.
How will a foundation
have a name?
Have name. Okay. This is the foundation of this building. So, where will you put the name? How will they see the name in the foundation? It will be buried and covered.
That's right.
Wow.
But
wow,
remember, wow, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20.
Yes, sir. Ephesians
2. Our faith is built where?
On the foundation of the apostles.
Ephesians 2:20.
Yes.
And are built upon the foundation
we are
of the
built
apostles
upon
and
the
prophets.
Foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus describes him as
being
the
chief cornerstone.
No. Because the faith that produces or takes us to this glory was built by the apostles. You notice there are 24 elders.
Yes, sir.
They are symbolically there before the Lord in Revelation chapter 4.
Yes, sir.
They are made up of the two nations. The two nations of God. The physical nation and the spiritual nation.
Okay.
And the first nation of God was the covenant children of God, Israel.
That's right.
The 12 patriarchs, 12 children of Israel, they formed the nation of Israel. Every Jew today You are from one of these 12 tribes.
Okay.
And how are they known by? They are known by the founder. Okay? They are known by the founder. The tribes are called after the founder. So when you talk about Israel today, you are mentioning the tribes of who? You mention them. One by one, Reuben, Benjamin, and all the rest, Gad and the rest. So also, the spiritual Israel now also has 12 apostles upon which we are built. You know, and Amen. It's the same thing. It's just the same thing. So the foundation there is not physical foundation.
Wow.
But the foundation of the faith that was laid, that we built upon, that gets you into that.
My thinking is changing now. Or my understanding is changing.
Thank you.
That's very interesting. Okay,
especially
sir.
Those of you from very thick denominational background. You came from thick Pentecostal background.
Yes, sir.
You came from thick Protestant. Catholic. Protestant.
Protestant,
yes.
So the descriptions are all symbolic.
Yes.
All these.
They are all symbolic. Just symbolic.
Then, does it in any way speak about perfection?
That is why the measurements are given. It speaks about perfection. And it speaks about the glory that the hand of God is there. Yes. And remember that you said something, people have seen visions.
Yes, sir.
Even me, I have seen that revelation.
Wow.
Where I see a city in the sky. And I'll say, oh, so this city is real. Okay? But thank God for revelation.
Yeah.
You know, and just like a lot of people say they saw the rapture, you know, and they saw people disappearing, fear. You know. Now the same thing also, you see, people say they even write books and begin to describe, and people who are very good in writing nonfiction and fiction. You know, there are people that are very
fantasy
good
in fiction.
You know, writer, they just imagine a picture and put it down, use that talent, and then they are selling it, you know. And then people, you know, well, one thing is, what God does with that kind of revelation is, he uses the things that you will understand to describe what he wants to do. You know, okay, you believe in mansions. You believe in cities.
No.
You aspire to live in beautiful places. I also have beautiful place for you.
Okay.
Then he uses what you will understand and depicts it in those that picture he's given John. So you see it. And would you desire to be in that place? Is that not what people are struggling to have on earth here? You know, it is easier to get the attention of man with that picture than to just see yourself dressed in white and angel. You are moving up and down and say you are not going to be angels. You know, because the truth about it is in Revelation chapter 7.
It's serious.
In Revelation chapter 7, you will see in verse 9,
okay.
After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with what?
White robes
and palms in their hands. Verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Who are these ones? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest? And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple? And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall, future, hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living waters and fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears
from their eyes.
Now, I want you to watch. Who are these?
The saints of all ages.
The saints of all ages, here dressed in white, washed, they are the believers, filled with the Holy Ghost. But they are somewhere. They are somewhere waiting. Until we come to where we chapter 19. You will notice here. It says, from verse 7.
Okay.
Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. He said, for what?
The marriage of the Lamb is come.
Marriage now. You can see the marriage now. There's a marriage taking place now.
Yes, sir.
For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. That is what you see in chapter 7. That is the state of readiness. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, I want you to notice that the material described in chapter 19 is different from the material described in chapter 7. So, you know, this is revelation. The material here is just clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Palm there connotes worship. It also connotes peace.
Amen.
No more battle.
That's right.
No more fight. No more tribulation. Amen. They are now resting somewhere. But it is from here. Now, he said, let us be glad and rejoice. I give honor to him. Reading verse 7. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself
ready.
And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God.
Amen.
Then, this is a marriage here, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Then you go to chapter 21. You see? You see? Then it says something here, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven. See how it's prepared. Prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And then, verse 9. He said, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last place, and talk with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me, what did he show?
That great city,
the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So what is this new Jerusalem? It's the bride of Jesus Christ.
Wow. Amen.
It's the city of God, because that is God's dwelling place. And her beauty is described.
Okay.
You know, and then on and on.
So, sir, from the upper room, people have been receiving the Holy Ghost. The church started till the rapture. We have the bride of Christ. So, are you saying all these human beings who received God, who became temples of the Holy Ghost, the new Jerusalem?
Certainly, the bride of every age. In the last seven churches, they make up the New Jerusalem. And they are multitude upon multitude.
But you're explaining that it's possible that you have also had a dream. What about, can people formulate these dreams? I want to use it this
No, if you say formulate, then John formulated.
Okay.
You know, I'm not trying to tell you God's own way of symbolically revealing things to his people.
Okay.
You know, symbolically revealing things to his people. When God wanted to reveal to me that he is my father and my God, he showed me in the dream my own earthly father, who was a king. And then in that revelation, I was recognizing him as my father, but he was God. Now, Now I'm grown now, spiritually speaking, to understand that he was letting me know that he is my father.
Oh,
the same way you see your father like this, that is how Heavenly Father is to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that I am his son and his servant by what happened in that revelation. So, you know, God will show things, especially monumental things.
Mm,
he will always show them, you know, so that the revelation is not messed up.
Okay.
It just gives that picture. But it gives the picture enough for you to see reason to desire to be there.
Okay.
So he uses what we will understand. Just like God's anger being expressed as I regret created man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, is God a man? Didn't he know that what they would do when he was creating them? But to tell you how unhappy he is, then he come to the language, I mean to the level of man, and say, I regret creating man. Now also, you can as well be Abraham, and then Abraham, you say you saw God, you say, who is he? Then he'll carry Bible and draw what he saw, isn't it?
Man.
Who will he draw?
A man.
And yet, he is God that dwelleth in a light that cannot be approached. And yet, he is a God that is omniscient, omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. So, how did he again meet a man, met Abraham? He said, he's God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Well, that is the only way he could come down and relate with Abraham. But cause Abraham enough to know that he is God.
Amen.
So when we begin to see things symbolically presented to us like that, we don't take them literally like that.
Okay.
We pray for understanding.
Hmm.
But he normally drops keys. They are enough for anyone that's a Bible student that has a measure of the Spirit on him for the Holy Ghost to use a teacher. And especially those of us who have teaching ministry. Enough for us to understand, oh, it's not a physical, but when you take this scripture, take this, like some of those we have tried to show here today, you discover that that tabernacle, that house, that place he went to prepare for us, he went to guarantee a place for you. And that tabernacle is your spiritual house that cannot grow old, cannot be sick, cannot be limited by time, cannot be limited by space. You don't need a car. So why will you have streets of gold? Who will be riding on it?
Okay, please, sir, some time ago, you preached a sermon, the city that Abraham saw.
Yes.
And this one is the city that John saw.
Yes.
So please, sir, what is the connection?
The same city that Abraham saw. Maybe we'll look at it. Which scripture is that?
Hebrews 11 speaks of it.
Hebrews chapter 11, that's where it is.
Hebrews 11.
Now, because, you know, it's good to see the language, you know. Yes. You know, you see, he said, verse 8. That's the same picture I was telling you.
Okay.
You see, he showed Abraham something that made Abraham to desire to be there.
Okay.
And this is from verse 8. He said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is
God.
It is the same city that John saw. The same city that Abraham saw. Now, even from verse 13.
Okay.
You know, you notice that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, he saw something.
Right.
You see, that gingered them, and we are persuaded of them, and embraced and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth because of what they saw.
That's right.
Okay. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that is unheavenly.
Hallelujah.
Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. Now, quickly, there's something that just struck me here. I just want to drop it because I've not caught that before. I just, as I'm reading, I just catch something here. You know, I have preached several times that one of the reasons, one of the reasons that God, they said Abraham believed God.
Yes, sir.
And it was counted to him
for righteousness.
For righteousness. And without faith,
it is impossible
to please God. And faith here is revelation. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. I used to say, how will a spirit just appear to Abraham and say, I am God. Come out from among your people and go to where a city I will show you. Now we are seeing here, the first thing God did, and that is exactly what he does to anybody at all that will be more heavenly than earthly. Is the first thing he does is he gives you a picture of the glory that is ahead of you.
Amen.
So it means before Abraham left, he showed him, see where I'm taking you to.
Hallelujah.
He saw the city. This kind of place there.
Wow.
I am going there. We go.
Wow.
Where are you going? He started looking for that city until he knew the foundation. The builder is no human being because there was no technology at that time that could produce that type of city that he saw. All God showed him was a beautiful place to cause you to desire to be there. And until you catch a revelation of where you are going, you will never take the eternal destination seriously. And that is the problem with the Christian faith. So one by one, all the elect of God, when you see anybody, a young girl not ready to dress like the world, drops her earrings, drop her trouser, there is something she has seen.
Glory ahead.
It's not just a sermon, Gabriel, you spoke to, a virgin you spoke to, that you need.
That's right.
It's not even a fire he feels.
That's right.
There is something that God causes the person to be in expectation of that makes the person so dead to this world. And then more heavenly focused. And everyone that, imagine what would the first church age? They submitted themselves to be killed.
That's true.
What will make a Christian? No food to eat, no husband, nothing. And yet, you will not bend yourself, you won't bend it, you won't go anywhere, because there is something that has taken your attention away from this. You are now focused on where God has revealed to you. And he has to reveal it in a way that will catch your attention and will cause you to desire to be there. Do you see what he did with Apostle Paul? He said, a man, whether it was in the physical, the spirit, he doesn't know, but he was caught up in time, what he saw. So you can now see why he was ready to die, to kill him. There was something he saw. And until you see that thing, your Christian faith will just be religion. You won't be able to die for it. And that is why he depicts this city as a city. Because it is actually God's dwelling place.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Please, sir, we've not finished. Okay, when did the construction of this city start?
Wow.
And when will it end?
And we have thank you for that picture. We have a beautiful setting, you know, in the Bible.
Okay.
Remember that we are supposed to be temple of God. Amen. Christ himself is the temple of God. We too, we are the temple of God. So he gave us a picture of a temple.
Yes, sir.
The physical temple. Solomon's temple. And that's the first king, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Chapter. When you get the story, the area I'm referring to is chapter 6.
Okay.
Now maybe let's read verse 7 there. See the materials.
Okay, 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7.
Yes.
And the house, when it was in building, was built of stones made ready before it was brought thither.
Now, remember, you said, when was this city?
When did the construction start?
When did the construction start? Now, you see the type here. We have David and we have Solomon.
Amen.
Now, David was the king, the father, a type of God, the father.
Amen.
He had a son, Solomon, that was ordained to build the temple. But before David died, he collected all the materials. Mm. That is talking of predestination.
Need them ready.
Amen.
He got all the stones. And one interesting thing, if you read that story, is that all of them were materials from all over the world. And the design was already made by David himself. Such that the workmen, every stone that was used, and every believer is a stone.
Lively stone. Lively. Amen.
We are lively stones.
Amen.
That's why he called Peter, you are also a lively stone. Mm. You know, because you are also going to be a foundation stone. Mm. A foundation stone. Mm. That's why he called it, thou art Peter.
Peter.
Also. And we too, we are all lively stones.
Amen.
But these stones, we are prepared for Solomon by the father David. So when it was time for Solomon to start the building, he was not going to look for
materials.
They were already prepared by David himself. Such that the workmen, every stone that was used, and every believer is a stone.
Lively stone. Lively. Amen.
We are lively stones.
Amen.
That's why he called Peter, you are also a lively stone. Mm. You know, because you are also going to be a foundation stone. Mm. A foundation stone. Mm. That's why he called it, thou art Peter.
Peter.
Also. And we too, we are all lively stones.
Amen.
But these stones, we are prepared for Solomon by the father David. So when it was time for Solomon to start the building, he was not going to look for
materials.
They were already prepared. Everyone had his position. Everyone has his position.
Amen.
So the construction of this building began before, you know, before the foundation of the world, the materials were already prepared.
Okay.
So, when did it? In the mind of God, from the beginning.
Wow. Okay. So,
nobody can recently...
No! That is why I always say, nobody can help God.
Okay.
I say, pastor, say I'm frustrated, my ministry is not working. Is it your business?
This is after the fall of man, God started his
business. As soon as... Remember that. As soon as man fell, the provision for salvation started. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15.
Amen.
That was the seed of the woman.
Yes, sir.
And Apostle Paul let us know that seed of the woman was Christ.
Christ.
So the provision was already made.
Okay.
You know, and don't tell us about his birth, a type of Solomon and, you know, and David. From who? From who was Solomon born? From an ill-famed woman who became the king's wife and adulterer. Her husband died. You know, all these have spiritual types, which I don't have to waste too much time on. But the thing is that it did not start when Christ died on the cross on Calvary.
So it's not just even about the Gentiles alone. The Jews are part of it.
Because the Bible tells us, can we open it, Ephesians chapter 1?
Israelites are part of it.
Ephesians chapter 1.
Okay.
Okay. See the way he put it from verse 3.
Okay. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
See the language of Revelation.
Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Uh-huh.
According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
When did he choose you?
Before the foundation of the world.
So if you ask me now, when did that building start? The stones that we build this new city. When did it start? When?
Before the foundation of the world.
When?
Before the foundation of the world.
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Because we were already shaped right from the beginning.
Okay. So it's made up of all races, Israelites and Gentiles.
Is that why?
All, because the stones were from all over.
Is that why the foundation of this building is not just because something is coming clear.
Which building?
The foundation of this city.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking of this building.
The foundation of that city is in Revelation 21, as you're explaining to us.
Yes.
You said it is a perfect building. That's why it had planned.
Yes.
You also told us again that the city has glory. That's why you have this precious stone.
Sure.
So are you also telling us now that this city had the foundation and gate of the 12 tribe of Israel and foundation of the apostles, meaning it's a complete city of both Jews and Gentiles?
Sure, certainly. Certainly, because the bride of Christ, you know, we'll go to Ephesians chapter, Galatians chapter 3.
Okay.
Galatians, it's important that we catch some of these things. Now, if you look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and verse 14.
Okay.
Read it.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Yes.
Being made a curse for us.
Uh-huh.
For it is written. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Why?
That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ.
What is the blessing of Abraham?
That we might receive the promise of the Spirit.
What is the blessing of Abraham?
That we might receive the promise of the Spirit.
What is the promise of Abraham? The promise of Abraham is that in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And is Christ not of the seed of Abraham?
Amen.
And is it not through that seed now? All of us are now having access to that city.
Amen.
Okay, so it is for both Jews
and Gentiles. Before we end this interesting and short episode, Lisa, our prophets to this age, Brother William Branham, preached a sermon in 1964.
Yes.
Future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride.
Yes.
1964, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride.
Mm.
And in this sermon, he gave a picture of this city and he made it to look as if it was a literal city. So let me just say a few things. You know, he said it's about 1,500 miles, about half of the United States. He says it's like a pyramid-like mountain. And you know, he said it shall be in Palestine. That's what he said. It shall be in Palestine, present-day Israel. So, sir, what do we do about what the prophet has said concerning the city?
Well, I am reading from the Bible. I'm interpreting from the Bible. You see, sometimes when an evangelist is speaking, when you are given an evangelistic sermon, you know, you don't compare it with what is with now the chips are down. Let's look at what is the Bible saying. The
evangelist is not a teacher.
And evangelism is evangelism. Amen. You know, just like God himself was evangelizing when he began to show people the city in the dream.
Amen.
You know, see a city in the dream. It's evangelism. But when you come down, then you accept Christ. Then he sees that begins to
teach you.
You know, teach you things like that. I think it's clear. You know, let nothing confuse us in anything with Abraham. I try to say because all he's saying is there is a city. That's important.
Yes.
There is a city.
Yes. Okay. I think our pastor has used wisdom.
I take refuge in that place.
There is a city.
Okay, thanks for this wisdom, because
you know William Branham says something when people are arguing, say something, he will come as a horse, he will come as
a cloud.
He will come as this. Mm-hmm. He said the important thing is that he's coming. Are you prepared to meet him?
Today
so let's stop fighting. You know, I'm not going to begin to dissect what William Branham said. But, you know, what we're just trying to let the people know is that Apostle Paul said we should move beyond this water baptism, repentance, from sin, and all this, and then let's move on to perfection, maturity. We cannot be taking only milk. You know, you see, the rapture is coming. People have been holding this Bible for decades, for centuries, actually. And then a lot of things here, they don't even understand. You know, they are still staying on the evangelistic stage. You know, when they begin to tell you this, you know, to catch your attention, to give your life to Christ. Part of the evangelism is that when you come to Christ, you know, you are free, no curse again. We have power. Devil cannot hold you again. This and that. And they say, eh? So if I go, I am safe. No more. But some of Jesus were healed. We cannot be poor. We cannot be this. And then, you don't know that it's evangelism. But when you come, then you need a teacher. Sit down first, so. For all they that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. If you follow me, pick your cross. Now that is teaching now.
Amen.
But in evangelism, we say, if you don't have Christ, you have crisis. Yes. But the truth is that a crisis even in Christ. When we break it down. So there's a language of evangelism, and there is the teaching aspect.
Language,
where we now get established.
Wow. Okay.
Before roundabout, Pastor has said something very striking here, and I think some people might just jump over it. That these materials for this city have been prepared
from the foundation before
for destination.
So, my take is what I'm looking at now is what's your if you are asked now as a preacher to advise people, because a lot of people are expecting to be in a city and yet they are not part of. The materials, like they've not been there. Their names are not there. What's our hope?
Like their names are not in the city. Yes, only 12 names are there.
I mean, a lot of people right now are in denominational churches, anywhere yes. They are, thinking they are going to be in this place, and yet the materials have been prepared.
That is why I preached a message that I titled Salvation by Assumption.
Okay.
You see, if everyone that will be in that city has a process to undergo.
Mm.
It is the three works of grace.
Amen.
That's what we see in Romans chapter 8,
yes, sir.
Verse 28.
Romans chapter 8, yes. Verse 28.
And 29 and verse 30.
Okay. And we know that all things work together for good, yes, to them that love God.
Yes.
To them who are the called according to his purpose.
Now, maybe you hang it there.
Mm.
You know, this call, a lot of people don't understand this call. Now, this call is what we see in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28.
Come unto me.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you
rest.
It looks as if it's for everybody.
Open invitation.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever. And then everybody is coming in. But the mystery there, again, is in John chapter 6.
Hmm.
Now, if we read verse 37,
okay.
John, there are two groups of people there.
Verse 37.
Yes.
All that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Who is talking there?
The Lord Jesus.
What is he saying?
All that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
When did he give them to him?
From the foundation
of the world.
Ephesians 1.
Eh? Will come to him.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.
Now, that is where I've tried to explain this scripture.
Yes, sir.
There are people that come on their own. Mm. How do we differentiate between those who came on their own and those who were given by the Father? Go to verse 44 again.
Verse 44. Okay. Verse 44.
Yes.
No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him.
Oh.
And I will raise him up at the last
day. So that
day.
You understand all the Father giveth me.
Mm.
He said, No man
can come to me
except
the Father which has sent me draw
because
him.
Because when they say, come to me here, you know, come to me here, there is a process to undergo. When God is the one that call you, brings you to Christ, there is a process you will undergo. That's what we see in that Romans chapter 8. Let's read on now.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
If God call you, he's trying to say all things work together for good. Then, now look at who are those he called?
For whom he did foreknow.
Through foreknowledge.
He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son.
Their destiny is predetermined.
That he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Uh-huh.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate.
Now, you see now, there is a process through foreknowledge.
Hmm.
He gets to know, there's no time to break that down.
Hmm.
But I'm more interested in the process.
Okay.
If he's the one that called you, what does he do?
Whom he did predestinate, them he also called.
Now, if he called you,
whom he called, them
he
also justified.
If he called you, what will happen?
Them he also justified.
It is he that justifies.
Mm.
And what is the process of justification? The, The process that he brings you and then washes away your sins.
Amen.
And that is what the blood of Jesus Christ does. Amen. That is what his death, his burial, and resurrection achieved. Go and preach that gospel. You believe, and then you hear the voice calling you through the message, through the sermons. You respond and give your life to Christ, because it is not about going to the altar with your leg. Mm. It is a response from the heart. Amen. Because you must first repent first. Mm. Now, so now you come to him. He washes away your sins. Mm. That is water baptism. And it is correct water baptism. Mm. Then the next stage.
And whom he justifies.
After he justifies you.
Then he also glorifies.
Now, the essence of glorification there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You see the glory of God now. So only those through predestination, because we will have the book of life with names from the foundation of the world. So you discover that when he calls you, you must undergo those three stages. That is what the key that he gave Peter in Matthew 16. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. He gave him the key to the kingdom. Key unlocks for somebody to enter.
Amen.
And that is what we saw. The day of Pentecost, that key was used. And 3,000 souls came in. Amen. What is the key? It's verse 38.
Yes, Acts 2:38.
Yes.
Acts chapter 2, verse 38.
That is what
then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Again, repent
and be baptized,
and be baptized
in the name of Jesus Christ,
so that your sins can be washed away,
and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost,
and actually the eternal life.
Amen. Has that answered you? Okay, I think we've come to the end of this interesting episode of Rapture Watch. The city that John saw. The city began from the foundation of the world, and it will end with the rapture, sir.
Sure.
Okay. It will end with God's program for salvation. Whenever God's agenda of salvation is ended.
No. Again.
The city began from the foundation of the world.
Yes,
and it will end with God's program for salvation.
No, it will end when God's. In fact, it never even ends because it's eternal.
Wow. Oh, I mean the building of the city.
Okay,
that's
the building.
The building.
The building
of the city.
Ends.
Yes. That's true, sir.
The building ends. Of the city. You know, with the bride coming in to take possession of the earth.
Thank you, sir. That's how people feel like. Thank you very much, sir. Okay, the building of the city will end as the bride comes down as New Jerusalem.
Because the building is over when the last elect comes in.
Amen. Okay, Pastor preached a sermon some time ago, the city that Abraham saw.
Yes.
You could get that interesting message. I think it's part 1 and 2, if I'm right. Or just a single part. But it's a very interesting sermon, and he spoke about this at length. And you could also request for this particular episode of Rapture Watch, the city that John saw. And we also quoted earlier that Brother Abraham preached a sermon, Future Home of the Heavenly Bridegroom. To satisfy your curiosity, you could go through it and read what the prophet said, and then come and balance with the scripture. And if you have questions from that, our pastor's number is free for everybody.
Everybody.
You could contact him and you properly.
I'm everybody's pastor.
Everybody
has my phone number.
Okay. And you properly align you
according
to what the scripture has said. The city that John saw. Thank you very much for joining us on Rapture World today. God bless you and remain rapturable. Shalom.